Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
If any of these quarterbacks, forget Herbert versus Love, if either of those quarterbacks get past six at the Chargers, it's hard to find a perfect landing spot.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
All of our discussion, all of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Like 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson, in with you on this hump day.
Hump day.
What is happening?
Well,
everybody alive?
I think writers. I mean, you could easily throw radio hosts in this too, but
sure.
I think writers are starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel of what they talk or write about.
It's a little bit easier, I would say, to fill time and talk about nonsense on the radio than it is to write articles about nonsense.
Well, we already talk about nonsense
exactly.
When there's actually sports
exactly.
Going on.
Exactly. So this is just a little extra free time for us that we're kind of already used to. This isn't the case for normal writers. Because they're writing these serious stories, you're covering games. You're not writing a lot of jokey articles about just kind of filling space.
Yeah, like when you start writing like hypothetical best player of all time and why they would be better than the current best player on the team or this team versus the old team. I think you're getting close. I think you know that.
What is the bottom of the barrel? If that's not the bottom, what is?
Well, that's why I think you're scraping the bottom.
I don't think we're quite there yet. I hope we're not there yet.
If you're not covering an NFL team, what are you really writing about?
That's true.
I mean, there's only so many, like, I'll give you the five best power forwards in basketball history for this team.
Oh, we do have a bit of we do have a bit of news. Did you guys see this? This just came out like 10 minutes ago. We actually have news.
From where? I'm on Twitter right now.
From Pete Thamel. Do you follow Pete Thamel on Twitter?
I don't know if I do.
You need to follow Pete Thamel on Twitter. Hold on. Let me Google this person and just make sure that it's an actual thing first.
Well, if it's Pete Thamel's real Twitter account, then it's real.
I know. I just have never heard of the guy before. Yeah, apparently he's a real person. Ready for this? Anthony Brown. You ever heard of him? Big fan?
Nope.
Big fan of Anthony Brown?
Never heard of Anthony Brown in my life.
He is transferring apparently to Oregon. he's a quarterback from Boston College.
Okay. Is that important?
He was a 3-year starter for him, apparently. So I don't know if he thinks he's going to compete for the job or what. But,
was he good at Boston College?
Looks like this last year. Now, I can't tell if he got benched or if he got hurt. He got hurt last year. But the year previous to 93, 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions as a sophomore. So there you go.
Cool.
There you go. Hey, look at that news. We got news,
yeah,
baby.
All right.
Let's break it down. Should we get somebody on from Boston College to talk about this?
I've already booked the ticker, so you can book that if you want.
we're full up. We got a lot of sports today.
We do.
Well, we have 4 guests on.
We do. It's a lot of guests.
I don't know how that
happens. Well, they're all sports guests, too.
They all are sports guests. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no Tiger King talk today.
Well, I think that's kind of starting to fizzle out a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of run its course through society.
It had about a 2 to 3 week reign.
How short is the 15 minutes right now?
It's pretty short, pretty short.
But 2 weeks is a pretty good run, though.
Yeah, the lingering stories I've seen is that for those of you who watched it, you saw in there Jeff Lowe, the creepy guy who wears like Ferrari hats and leather jackets to do his landscaping duties around the park.
You mean the guy wouldn't want to see late at night at a bar? Yeah, that guy.
Who's might have been the shadiest dude in the entire show. Well, he had in the show hinted that they were hiring a smoking hot chick to be his nanny.
Yeah, she's really hot.
Well, they found her on Instagram because she was posting things to her story about her walking around the zoo. However, she responded to a comment that said she's not actually the nanny. She doesn't work there. That Jeff Lowe paid her to show up just to be around the park for a day or two to do a couple of interviews to make it appear that he was their nanny.
And
she's not. She lives in Vegas. They flew her in, and she's not actually the nanny. I know, shocking that he would lie about something like that. And then the other story today that came out was the daughter of the husband that went missing, the Carol Baskin, may or may not have murdered. She came out and thanked the documentary.
I think it's the granddaughter you're
talking granddaughter, about. Excuse me. That's right. Granddaughter. And she thanked the documentary for shining light on the potential murder of her father.
Well, he's for sure murdered.
and she thanked Joe Exotic for trying to kill Carol Baskin. So those are the two latest updates I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to fade out of the news until something or somebody gets arrested.
Until season 2 happens and they're doing a thing on Jeff Lowe. There'll be more meat on that bone, just not right away.
You know, the unfortunate part is now I don't really have, I mean, we're watching Hunters and we're almost done with that. I introduced the wife to Kingpin last night. She wasn't a fan.
Not a fan of Kingpin, huh?
Yeah, like there were some funny parts to her, but then she got kind of bored. Right around the time that
I could see that
Ishmael walks away because Woody Harrelson and the smoking hot chick fight.
Right, right.
She was just kind of like, this movie kind of sucks now.
I'm kind of over this. Right
and you
now.
Know what? I was also in a mood of, it gets kind of slow until the very end when Big Earn bowls against
it
him.
It could be a little dry for moments in the middle there. We're in the middle of watching, thanks to the lovely Sprague family, the Harry Potter movies.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're tackling right now at the house. I realized over the weekend that she had never seen any of the movies. Like ever, which was kind of weird to me that how you grew up in our era and never saw any of them. That was just kind of strange.
Not even a curiosity
Not
to
even,
see them.
Right, to never go. And then they were, there's like 4 different channels that are showing all of them on TV. And she kept trying to watch them like intermittently with commercials. And I was like, no. This is not going to happen. Because you watch those things with commercials, they go on for 4 hours. And then you see like a half hour of one movie and then you change the channel. You forget about it. You see like 45 minutes of the next one. I said, we need to tackle this seriously. If you actually want to watch it, you can do it without me. That's fine. So we watched the first Harry Potter last night. It was a thrilling night at the Dirt household.
Well, you had a comment yesterday and I like when people make old person comments from time to time and you don't think about the fact that they're kind of old timey. Mm-hmm. So I bring you the DVD series, which I think I told this story. I got the wife the DVD set for Christmas.
All of them. All was there 8 of them, I think, right? 8 movies?
Yeah. And I hid them before we left for Vietnam. Got back from Vietnam. It's Christmas a couple days later. I was super excited.
Yeah.
Guess who couldn't remember where he hid the movies?
Yeah, you lost them.
Still haven't found them.
Oh, really?
They are somewhere in my house in a little Amazon box, and I still haven't found it.
So you went and bought another one?
No. My mom also bought her the same thing and didn't tell me. So that's the gift from my mom.
That's the one that she bought? Yeah.
The funny thing was, I bring it to work yesterday because Dirt's fiance reaches out to my wife and says, hey, can I borrow them? Because I think they had talked about it during our weekend at Pelican. And I put it on Dirt's desk, and Dirt comes in, and he goes, "Whoa, fancy, Mr. Blu-ray." And I thought, isn't Blu-ray like a normal thing now? Is that still like a fancy, braggy thing? Like, oh, I've got them on Blu-ray. Don't worry. I think the DVD Blu-ray difference is no longer a big deal. I think almost everybody, it's like, it's all Blu-ray now, isn't it?
I mean, it is, but I don't own that many Blu-ray. Like, how many Blu-rays do you own?
I mean, I don't, I have most of my movies are really old from like the early 2000s when you thought you needed to collect movies to watch them.
You would go buy the DVDs on like discount and
like
stuff.
Like Netflix was still sending you the DVD. Yeah. You couldn't stream it.
Right.
So outside of that, any new DVDs I have are all Blu-ray.
Are they? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
sure. You're not going to go buy DVDs. I didn't know, though, because I had forgotten that you were getting that for her for Christmas. So I forgot that you bought them recently. So I didn't know if it was like an old purchase. I would have been perfectly fine with DVDs. They work just the same.
But Blu-rays, it is
sure,
better.
The picture quality might not be exactly the same. But I still do own a lot of DVDs.
Yeah.
I don't really know why.
Because you don't watch them, really.
You don't. They just sit in like a big in the TV cabinet where they're just there, you know, you don't ever really take them out. But I probably own 30 to 40 DVDs that are just stockpiled in my house.
Here, this sums up, I think, our first world problems. So last night before Kingpin, and basically I chose Kingpin because we had just talked about Big Earn and I wanted to see Bill Murray.
Right, you wanted to go back and watch it.
But I was contemplating like one of eight movies. The one movie I wanted to watch was not on any streaming platform that I have, and it was Tommy Boy. Now, here's the crux of the first world American problems we go through. I wanted to watch Tommy Boy. It wasn't on any streaming platforms. I know that if I owned it on DVD, I wouldn't have watched it. I would have been like, no, I'm not digging it out. I'm not setting the DVD player up.
I don't want to go find that.
Like, I've gotten so swag. There is no commercial break. Can we stop on the whole clock Nazi stuff? I have gotten so tired of the DVD setup versus the streaming, and so lazy that I know I have half the movies I randomly want to watch, and right. I shrug my shoulders like, well, it's not streaming, so
not gonna watch it. That's one of the main benefits of owning a PlayStation is that it has a built-in Blu-ray player. So you don't have to worry about it. Because I'm with you. If I had like a DVD player that I had to set up or a Blu-ray player that you would like plug in and plug, because you don't watch DVDs or Blu-rays all the time. If I had to do that, I totally wouldn't. But he just already got it plugged in. Boom, you slide it in, ready to go.
Yeah. I think a lot of people go through that. If it's not on a streaming platform that you pay for and you have it on DVD, you just won't watch it.
Somebody said, my wife tried to do the same thing and she rented a movie that we own on DVD.
See?
You're going, we'll just run it on Xfinity. I don't want to plug that thing in.
I'll pay $3 to $4.
Yeah, what the hell?
I don't want to dig through those crates, look at my old DVDs.
No big deal.
All right, we got a lot to get to on today's show. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap? Brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Maybe get to some NFL over-unders today. Talk about how the NCAA is allowing spring athletes to have another year of eligibility, whereas they said no to the winter athletes. Speaking of that, one athlete that had his season derailed was Pac-12 Player of the Year, Peyton Pritchard, and he's going to join us today at 1:30.
Yeah, how about that? He's had a weird couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's just been hunkered down in his parents' home posting dribbling videos. So we'll see what Peyton's been up to. And is it hard to get ready for the NBA when you can't really, like, go anywhere?
I'd say it's a little weird.
That sucks. So we'll talk with him at 1:30. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with former NFL defensive coordinator for the Rams, the Broncos, the Oilers. He's a lifelong football guy. Wade Phillips, who wrote the new book, Son of a Bum.
Is he retired or is he still looking to coach?
We'll ask him at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Maybe he's semi-retired. I don't know. So Wade Phillips will join us at 1. We have two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. The first is in Pittsburgh. Are they really digging the Jameis Winston rumors? And Jay Skursky of Buffalo News. The Buffalo Bills are the Vegas favorite to win the AFC East. They added Stephon Diggs.
How about that?
They gave Jordan Poyer a contract extension. Is he buying the Buffalo Bills to take that next step after blowing their playoff loss to Houston?
Let's circle the wagons.
So we'll get to that. We got Stat or Story at 2:15. I have no idea where Jason Swigart's going to go on that one. We've got our Bracketology final on our sports movie villains. Ivan Drago versus Shooter McGavin. This isn't even a contest, mainly because I don't think one of these people should be in the final. So I think it's going to end up being a runaway there. And it's April Fool's Day, and there's already some idiot out there on Twitter throwing out stupid April Fool's jokes. Damian Lillard unhappy.
He wants to be a Laker.
Shocking. Laker fan making a stupid-ass joke involving Damian Lillard because their team needs a good point guard. Shocking. Okay, so that's what's on tap for today's show, brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the Beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We'll start with, I guess, a little Anthony Brown news, but also the NCAA getting two things right. I do. I think they got both things right. We'll talk about that. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Wednesday on 1080 The Fan. Two stops to make on the ticker coming up in 12 minutes. I think Primetime is doing that food challenge with Lynch.
The McDonald's food challenge.
And I don't think he stands a chance.
Yeah, see, I...
Getting now, close, by the way, does not mean...
No.
I'm wrong on that. If you don't do it, you didn't stand a chance.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't do a challenge and
now,
get credit for almost doing it.
What if he like has one Coke left and that's it after 90 minutes? That's standing a chance, though. He stood a chance.
No.
He went toe-to-toe down to the finish line. He just couldn't finish it. Now,
you didn't succeed in the challenge.
If he goes 90 minutes and there's like two double quarter pounders, a large fry, and two large Cokes left, then I will agree with your assessment that he didn't stand a chance.
Well, I also don't like the fact that you think this is really easy.
I think the food part is manageable. I do.
Oh, my God. I think that's so much more food than your...
Look, it's a lot of food. Don't get me wrong.
It's a lot of food. So, it's two double quarter pounders with cheese. Two quarter pounders, right? And then 20 nuggets, and then four large fries and four Cokes?
Yes.
No chance.
The part that has no chance is drinking four large Cokes in 90 minutes. That's like, I don't even know if I could do that on its own without any food.
That's not the hard part to me. The French fries is the hard part.
French fries is what's going to bog you down.
Because the burgers are going to be so much with the bread.
Cokes, you can put a lot of ice in. There's a lot of ice in those.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, if you want to have a quarter of it just be pie, it depends on how much you're filling up, right? Like, if you want to cheat and find a way or through it because it's 99% ice and 20% pop, like, then it's a little bit different. If you're filling it up normally, drinking four large, like even just drinking two large Cokes in 90 minutes would be far too much for me.
The only benefit he's going to have, and he's probably going to get this, but the benefit he has on this is that when you eat places like McDonald's, you can get to a point of being full, and then it's such bad food for you that
you just keep going.
Half hour later, you're kind of hungry again, but you're not. Your stomach just like does that weird, I'm empty, but I'm not.
Because the kind of food it is. I would pound as much as you can in the first half hour and then give myself a little bit of a break because you got 90 minutes. I think I could get through the burgers in the first half hour. Four burgers in a half hour, that seems somewhat...
That's pretty manageable.
That's manageable to
but
me.
But you got to be feeling it after the four
You're
burgers.
You're feeling it, and then I would probably give myself a half hour off, just a break, just to let some... Maybe sip on one of the Cokes, you know, slowly.
So now you're at 30 minutes.
And now... Well, now I'm at... If I give myself 30 to eat the burgers, 30 minutes off, now only got a half hour left.
Now you got 20 nuggets, four large fries, Cokes.
Yeah, see, what I would do, too, is I think you got to jam some of the fries into the burgers. It's a good way to kill two birds with one stone. The nuggets, that's a bad combination, but some people already put the fries on the burger to begin with. That would be my approach.
If he does this, he's not eating the next day, right?
No, I mean, you're good. No.
This is like 2 to 3 days worth of calorie intake.
Yeah, it's not.
The caloric intake on that meal has got to be...
It's not healthy in any way.
What do you think
it
is? 12,000?
I don't
15,000 calories?
I don't even want to count how many.
Let me work on that for you. Because they got to have it up on the...
Like a double quarter pounder probably has like 1,500 calories by itself.
The picture, by the way, that I'm seeing is not four large fries for the challenge. It's only two.
Okay.
It's only two large fries, which makes it more feasible.
Yeah, that makes it easier.
So it's 20 nuggets, two large fries, two quarter pounders, and two double quarter pounders with the large Cokes.
Four, though, right?
Four large Cokes, yes.
I'm rooting for him. I just don't. Maybe I'm coming from more of a place of disgust of how much food that is.
What is it again?
Okay, so it's two double quarter pounders.
Two doubles. Those are 770 apiece.
Oh, there's 1400. It's two quarter pounders, two regulars.
Yeah. Right. Two quarter pounders. Where's a regular quarter pounder? They got the, okay. With bacon or not?
No. I don't think there's bacon on there. They have quarter pounders with bacon on them?
I think they're
trying. Yeah, they got the quarter pounder cheddar bacon onion one.
Hey, oh,
that sounds so good right
now.
How
about that? That does.
All right. Quarter pounder with cheese, 530.
So 530 times two.
That's 1060. So now you're at 2460, whatever.
Okay, now you got two 10-piece nuggets or one 20-piece nugget. I don't know what serving sizes they come in.
All right, where are the nuggets at?
And then two.
I'm
large
really
fries.
Curious what the calories are for this.
I mean, I think we're looking well over 5,000 would be my guess if we're already up over 2,000 to begin with.
You guys go on with what you're doing. Let me do a little math here for you.
That's not as bad as I thought it would be, but still, that's.
Well, I mean, I'm
you're
trying
well
to
over
think.
A day's worth of calories.
I mean,
in
my
one
go-to usually is a Big Mac and a large fry when I go to McDonald's. I don't usually get the large soda. Like, that's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I usually tell them I don't want
it. I don't want it. Or if they give it to you, I'll put, like, a quarter of, like, high C in there or whatever if it's cheaper to do the meal. You know, make yourself feel better about eating crappy food. But I get through that, and I feel like I could handle a little bit more.
Absolutely. I do the same thing when I eat the double quarter pounder meal.
Right. You're like, all right, I got some more room left in the tank. And when you go to Taco Bell, how many things do you order at Taco Bell? It's like a minimum of four.
Four to six.
Right? It's a minimum
usually
of four.
Usually four to six.
Now, not all those things are a double quarter pounder or a large fry. You could be getting like a soft taco that's like three bites and it's gone. So it's a little bit easier to eat. But I don't know. Look, I'm not going to try this because I'm trying to lose weight. But if like maybe after the wedding or something and I hit like some weight loss goals, then I'll go down this road. There's no way I could do the pops though. So those are out. I couldn't finish it because of that.
Still reminded me, we need to do our KFC challenge.
The
donut chicken sandwich thing, which I know I'm going to end up liking the taste, but it's going to gross me out.
A chicken sandwich and a donut. I'm not a donut bro, so I don't know how I'm going to like that.
You might not like it at all.
Yeah, it might not be my cup of tea, man.
Hey, can I tell you this?
Sure, fire away.
The NCAA not allowing the eligibility of winter athletes was 100% the right call.
It was. It sucks for some of them because they didn't get a chance to finish their careers or play in an NCAA tournament. So you sympathize for them, especially the ones that aren't going on to the next level or don't have, you know, we'll talk to Peyton Pritchard in an hour. He's got an NBA future. How long and how successful, we don't know, but he's going to go on and play basketball, but not everybody will. That isn't obviously the only winter sport. You feel for him, but that's the right decision. They played, what would you say, 90% of their season?
95% right? of their season.
Hell, some of them played their entire season because they got bounced early in their conference tournaments, and that was kind of it. So that was the right call.
The spring athletes will have another year of eligibility if they want to use it. But I took this to football on my drive in because I'm excited for Oregon State just in the hopes of maybe they could make a bowl game this year and maybe take that step in the right direction with Jonathan Smith. Mm-hmm. And I thought if there isn't a college football season, like I'm not going to get to see Hamilcar Rashid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's players
on your
favorite team that you know it's their last year. They were contemplating leaving this year and you might not get to watch them play again.
Yeah, you're going to face that
Oregon
same.
Oregon has like four of those
there's
guys.
There's a lot of those. But Penei Sewell's probably done as a Duck if there's not a season. I don't know why he
you're
would
right,
come
that's
back.
That's his third year.
He's going to be a top five pick in the draft.
Jeez, so could you imagine if you don't get to see Penei Sewell again?
You only got him for a year and a half because remember he got hurt for a few games his freshman year and their season tanked coincidentally when that happened. So, yeah, those suck. I do think, though, the NCAA granting the spring athletes the extra year of eligibility figuring out how it's all going to work. They would probably try and do the same for the football guys that didn't or don't have the pro prospects, like Rashid and Penei Sewell, those kind of guys. Like the guys who can go play in the NFL, they're probably not going to wait around for another year, but some of them aren't ready for that and might decide to come back for one more year. And if they're going to do it for the spring, I would imagine they would do it for the fall. You just got to figure out how it works roster size-wise, scholarships, the new coming kids. You got to figure out that equation, but at least they're willing to consider it, I think.
That's the one – well, it's not the – it's one of many, but that I couldn't stop thinking about how we might get robbed of seeing so many players play their last year in college football.
It sucks.
It's terrible.
You got guys
like Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are right. gone.
They're not coming back for another year. They're both going to be top 10 picks, top 5 picks.
Yeah.
Why would they sniff around another year of college football? It would take one of those unique kind of guys that is more Justin Herbert, for example, a guy who is just more interested in being a college quarterback than an NFL quarterback because he came back for one more year when he could have left last year. So you might have a few of those cases, but the vast majority of guys are gone when they first get that chance.
Well, like think of spring too. I'm not going to pretend to know many baseball players in college, even mm-hmm. for Oregon State. I don't follow it as closely as other Beaver fans, but mm-hmm. I thought if you had just had this at the wrong time, the year Oregon State won their title. Adley Rutschman's last year. Imagine if this season got shut. Like,
this was the year.
You kind of put
Adley
that
Rutschman.
In that perspective, and your team could have lost out on a year of winning, and then they could lose half their team if those guys don't want to come back.
Yeah. And I can't blame the guys for you take the opportunity to jump if it's there for you. I can't blame you at all for that.
No.
And, I mean, to be fair, some of the guys, honestly, are missing out of a year of wear and tear on their body. I mean, you think of pitchers. I mean, you're saving some bullets in that arm for down the road. You think of football players that if there is no season, they don't have to go through the risk of getting hurt. Like, that's mm-hmm. always the big fear for guys of if you're no – like, Penei Sewell is a prime example of this. Penei Sewell is going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, he might end up being a top 5 pick,
man. He could be
a
top 5 pick depending on who's up there and who needs an offensive lineman. He's the best offensive lineman in all of college football. That guy's ready to go to the NFL now. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He's talented enough. And if he could leave now, he probably would be a high pick as is. But when you got to come back for another year, you're always risking one of those kind of moments, somebody rolling up on a knee or something bad happening and you missing the season, hurting your draft stock. We've seen it happen before. So for guys like that, you if they get the chance to jump at it, man, they're going to take it.
Yeah, so the NCAA, turns out they got something right. The spring athletes are going to be able to come back for another year. The winter athletes, they were not given that, but most of the winter athlete season's over.
Well,
so.
Somebody texting, if they don't play this year, does it count as a third year played? That's not the rule for the NFL. You don't have to play 3 years of college football. You have to be 3 years removed from high school.
Yeah.
So you have to be 3 years out. So some guys, you can redshirt and then only play 2 years, and then you can go to the NFL.
Yep.
So you just have to be, you don't even have to play college football. You just have to be 3 years removed from high school in order to go.
Isn't that what Tua was?
Tua played his freshman year because he played that one game, the national title, and then his sophomore year they lost to Clemson, and then this last year was his third year.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He played the one game as a freshman.
Yeah, I got those
jumbled together.
He might
have actually redshirted that year because I think that was the first year of the new redshirt rule.
Where you could play four games and it's still a redshirt.
That might have counted as a redshirt year for him.
All right, let's go to the NFL. There's rumors that Jameis Winston and Pittsburgh could be a match, and the Buffalo Bills are the favorites in the AFC East now that Tom Brady has gone from New England. We'll make two stops on the Daily Ticker there, and we'll do it next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Jerry Dulac's going to be our first stop here in Pittsburgh with the Post-Gazette covering the Steelers and PGA golf. The rumor right now is that Pittsburgh might be the leader in the clubhouse for quarterback Jameis Winston, who was basically shown the door by Tampa Bay after five seasons. So let's find out how true this might end up being. Jerry joins us now. Jerry, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland. I hope you're doing okay during this coronavirus quarantine. What do you make of the rumor that Jameis could be a good fit as a backup to Big Ben in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, that might sound well and good, but Brandon, I don't see that happening at all. It's really not even realistic, feasibly speaking, because one, they're right up against the cap. They're in compliance, but they're right up against it. Mm-hmm. Two, they're not going to get he or even Cam Newton, which is the other popular suggestion, at any kind of price approximating that. And three, they wouldn't do that now anyhow. The only way that would even be remotely considered, and I'm sure it wouldn't be somebody of that magnitude, is that if they got to like July or August and realized that Ben Roethlisberger's schedule was behind, or that he was having problems, or if it looked like, you know, he wouldn't be able to play for maybe another half a season. And there is nothing right now to indicate that will be a possibility either. So, I that's as unfounded a rumor or a thought that you can possibly have, certainly unrealistic. And I see it keeps creeping up. But the Steelers haven't even entertained such a thought, and I don't see them doing that one bit, no matter what point of the year it is. And again, unless you got till July or August, and even by then, I would assume that Cam Newton and Jameis Winston would be off the market anyhow at that point in time.
You got to love this time of year when people are just throwing stuff against the wall to see if it sticks. And, right. Maybe there's some legs to it. But on the Roethlisberger note, too, I'm just curious, what are you hearing about him? I mean, the only thing we've seen is that he looks like the Robin Williams character out of Jumanji, and he's got that big beard, and he's like, what's the latest on him, though? And then how does this kind of situation play into his rehab of not being able to be around the team and doctors? I don't know how that's all playing in for him. Just where's he at right now?
Well, he is allowed to be around. He's allowed into the facility, okay, according to the league directive, for any player who is under medically supervised rehab. So he is allowed to do that, and he is seeing his doctors. And from what I'm told from the people who know, everything is right on schedule. So until we hear otherwise, I have to go on that assumption, and I just checked within the past week or the other day on that situation. So I don't, everything seems to be very positive. And again, on schedule, their target date is, their goal is the first regular season game. Mm-hmm. Ben has only played quarter and a half of a preseason game the past couple of years. And I honestly don't expect them to play at all in the preseason. One, if there is a preseason, and two, even if everything goes according to schedule. So, but so far, everything seems to be good. Even when you saw that video of him throwing a couple, 3 weeks ago, back in February, even longer, a good month ago now, that even surprised the Steelers that he was throwing the football. They thought the best he would be doing is throwing a tennis ball or a Nerf ball. And then here he was lightly throwing a football. So even at that point, that was ahead of what they expected. So I think everybody is optimistic and encouraged, but we will see too, once he is ready to start trying to put some zip on the ball, where he is. And the thing that they will measure, fellas, is his spin rate, not necessarily the velocity, because velocity determines spin rate, but how well he is able to spin the ball. That's what they look for. That's the ability to throw tight spirals and whatnot. So they have a baseline for that. That's what they will measure. And until they get to that point, all they can do is go on the idea that everything is, at least for now, is on schedule.
Yeah, Jerry Dulac is our guest, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, covering the Steelers. Tomlin still hasn't had a below 500 season. They finished 8-8. Their defense really came on in the second part of that season last year. Their quarterback problem was pretty obvious, but you mentioned Big Ben, and hopefully he can be healthy for them. What do you think their plan is for the quarterback position, given Ben's up there on the age ladder? If it's not a Jameis Winston, they're already up against the cap. I'm not certain it's a Mason Rudolph or a Duck Hodgins. Do you think they would look in this draft for a potential future replacement the way they did just a couple years ago with Mason Rudolph?
No, to your latter point, and I don't expect that at all. I don't expect Duck Hodges to be seriously in a consideration as their backup. Their backup, their number two quarterback, is Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. And best I can tell from all indications, and they have said this publicly, is that they are happy with him as a number two quarterback. A former NFL head coach said to me, he compared Mason Rudolph to Neil O'Donnell, former Steeler quarterback, in this vein, in that, you can win with him. And the Steelers were 5-3 with Mason Rudolph. Extend that over full season, that's 10-6. You can win with him, but you're always looking for somebody better or to replace him with. Where I think he's like Neil O'Donnell, to use that comparison, is Neil O'Donnell didn't throw a lot of interceptions because he didn't take a lot of chances. And that's Mason Rudolph. So you don't see a lot of big plays per se. He's not that gunslinger type because he's conservative and he won't throw picks, but you lose some of the big plays with Mason. Now, maybe that'll change as he gets more experience. Don't forget, he never played an NFL game until this year. So it's really unfair to judge him in that regard. And all that being said, his numbers, other than the Cleveland game where he threw the four picks, his numbers weren't that bad, and he was 5-3 as a starter. And I think the Steelers are comfortable with him as their number two guy. We'll see about the long term, but they believe they have two more years before that decision comes to pass, because Ben intends to play two more years. And unless the arm derails that, I think they figure and Ben Roethlisberger figures they'll have two more years with him at quarterback.
There we go. Great stuff from our good friend Jerry Dulac in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, covering PGA golf and, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Says no chance with Jameis as a backup option in Pittsburgh. Jerry, thanks so much for the time, and I hope everything's going okay for you, and I'm sure we're going to catch up with you once the season gets closer.
Yeah, Brandon, thanks. All good here, and like everybody, and you know, you just hope and pray things get back to normal sometime soon. I don't know when that is, but that's all we can hope for.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jerry.
All right, boys. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Jerry Dulac in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Buffalo, where the Buffalo Bills, they acquired Stephon Diggs. They gave another weapon to Josh Allen. They did lose that playoff game after having a lead in Houston, but they are the Vegas favorite in the AFC East now that Brady is out of New England. So our good friend Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News covering the Buffalo Bills joins us now. Jay, thanks for hopping on with us out here in Portland. I'll just start with your thoughts on them being the Vegas favorite to win the division.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of crazy to hear that out loud even. You know, we've just become so accustomed to playing for second place here in Buffalo behind New England and the Patriots. So yeah, you know, the departure of Tom Brady and what it means for not just Buffalo, but you know, for Miami and for the Jets in the AFC East is, I think, hope really is probably the best word for it. You know, that cloud that hung over them in the form of the Patriots is no longer there. So yeah, I think it is a huge change for this franchise, and particularly with the Bills. When you look at, you know, the moves that they made this offseason, coming off of what they were able to accomplish last year, I think there is a lot of optimism here that finally they may be able to you know, dethrone the Patriots in the AFC East.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of their hopes for next season and even going forward just kind of rest on Josh Allen and what he can turn into at the quarterback position, because we know that the roster is incredibly talented. The defense is good. You add Stephon Diggs. You like the weapons. But what kind of quarterback can he turn into? Where does he need to improve the most in your mind from year two to year three?
Well, he's got to get better throwing the ball down the field. His down the field accuracy last year on throws, you know, of more than 20 yards was really abysmal. And you know, that's coming off a rookie season when it was the shorter throws that he seemed to struggle with. You know, to his credit, he worked on those a lot last offseason and was able to show a good deal of improvement. His completion percentage went from 53 to 59. That's a good jump, but it's still not where, you know, an upper echelon starting caliber NFL quarterback needs it to be. So he's got to get more accurate with the football, particularly on those longer throws. He's got to make better decisions with the football. We see at times that he just tries to do too much, and that was certainly on display in that playoff loss. To his credit, though, he works really, really hard, and I know, you know, the organization here in Buffalo is really excited about his potential, and they've given him pretty much every opportunity here now with going out and getting a number one receiver and Stephon Diggs. So there's not going to be any excuses for Josh Allen moving forward. They've done what they can to put as much around him as possible.
This is Bills beat writer Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News joining us here on the Daily Ticker. One of the defensive players who's had a great career and a good stint in Buffalo is Jordan Poyer. He got a 2-year extension just a couple weeks back. Just for, you know, Oregon State fans who have seen Poyer grow up here in the state of Oregon and play college ball out here and following his pro career, he's been playing really well. What does he mean to their locker room? What is Jordan Poyer's impact outside of the field for Buffalo?
Yeah, you know, you can't really talk about Jordan Poyer without talking about their other safety, Micah Hyde. Those guys were friends even before they got to Buffalo. And then, you know, ever since they came to Buffalo, they followed Sean McDermott in as head coach, and he really put a priority. He's a former safety himself. He's a defensive backs coach, defensive coordinator. So he knows, you know, the importance of quality safety play, and to McDermott's credit, he can, and you know, really help develop it. And yeah, Poyer is really one of the success stories of free agency, right? You know, he gets hurt in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and the Bills identified him as a player that could come in and be a meaningful contributor. And he's become even more than that. I think pound for pound, he might be the toughest guy on that team. You know, what he means in terms of run support, his knack for making big plays in the secondary in terms of passes defense, interceptions, all of that. He's become, you know, a leader on this defense and a big, you know, a guy that they turn to for big plays. And it really is a well-deserved contract extension that he got. He, you know, he came here and he was underpaid by, you know, safety standards in terms of what his production was. And to the Bills' credit, they recognized that And to Jordan Poyer's credit, he went out and he earned this this 2-year contract extension.
What holes do they have left to fill? Where do you think they're looking in the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think they still have to continue to get better offensively. I know Diggs was a huge addition as a number one receiver. I don't think they should be done on the offensive line. If they could address that in the second round with a with an offensive tackle, I think it would help. They have a really promising young rookie in Devin Singletary last year at running back. I think they want to get him some help. So that's a, you know, another number two running back that they can kind of combine with Singletary. I think you want to continue to build around Josh Allen. And, you know, a lot of their moves in free agency were actually on the defensive side of the football outside of the moves that they made to Diggs. So I want to see him continue to try to get better offensively.
Jay, is Frank Gore still trying to play? I didn't see any announcement about retirement. I know he's up there in the age ladder. Is he still going to try to play? And is that of interest to Buffalo if he's not under contract?
Yeah, I mean, he said that he wants to continue to play. I don't think it'll be in Buffalo. He is a pending unrestricted free agent. You know, I think the Bills really liked what he brought in terms of leadership, in terms of being a mentor to Devin Singletary last year. But at his age, I believe he'll be 37 at the start of next season, I think. And he really started to slow down over the second half of 2019. So I think his time in Buffalo is done. I don't know that he'll get another opportunity, maybe if there's an injury or something like that closer to the season. But, yeah, he does want to continue to play.
You ever been interested in getting slammed through a table like Bill's Mafia does? Have you ever wondered how your body would take that?
I mean, interested is one way of putting it. I think, you know, if this goes on much longer and we don't have sports, I'm going to be looking for something to write. So maybe that'll be an option.
There we go.
A case study to how to survive a table slam.
Our good friend Jay Skursky out there in Buffalo covering the Bills for the Buffalo News. Jay, thanks so much for the time, man. We always appreciate we can get you on. And football season just around the corner. They don't appear to want to stop at all despite what's going on. So I'm sure we'll catch up with you and talk some more football down the road.
Yeah, you got it. Stay safe, guys.
All right, you too. There we go. Good stuff from our two stops on the Daily Ticker. The first one was the Jameis Winston rumors in Pittsburgh.
Not going to happen.
Well, according to Jerry Dulac, and I trust him because he is plugged in, man. He covers that team really well. It's pretty irresponsible that everybody ran with that without acknowledging that they have no cap space.
That's a national headline and a nationally reported story that he would be a perfect backup and replacement for Ben Roethlisberger. And he said, nope, not going to happen.
And Jay, you heard from Jay when we brought him on. They're the Vegas favorite. He says, well, even hearing that out loud sounds kind of weird.
It's like this cloud has been lifted over the AFC East that existed for 20 years and it's finally gone.
All right, we're back with more. We've got Wade Phillips at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Back with more on The Fan. So we talked yesterday about the Jordan Bowles documentary coming out, the docuseries. And it was nice to talk about that because, I'm so jacked to see it. And for the people out there that maybe it just doesn't make sense to them why so many people refer to him as great as he was, at least open their eyes. But we've reached a point of absurdity here. look, Michael Jordan is easily the most universal greatest player of all time for basketball fans, sports fans out there. You can feel different for different players. That's fine, but it's Jordan. When you go college, we're jumping the shark here. ESPN, along with everybody else and their mom, is doing brackets right now, right?
Including us.
And, you know, a lot of these are fun. Like, I've seen the Ringers doing TV characters, and there's been some really good battles. Omar from The Wire or Larry David.
God, it's a good matchup.
You know what I mean? Like, today it's Dwight Schrute or Tyrion Lannister. These are really good matchups.
Those are great matchups.
ESPN did the best college basketball player of all time, and Michael Jordan won.
Yeah.
Look, Michael Jordan, pro? Okay. College, really good career.
He had a great career in North Carolina.
I'm not even, is he even a top five best college basketball player of all time?
I'm surprised. He was a 2 seed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even too
high. No, he should have been a 4 or 5 seed for his collegiate career.
He played 3 years at North Carolina before he bounced to the NBA. He averaged
16 points.
In his career, he averaged just shy of 18. He averaged just over 13 as a freshman. Sophomore year, he averaged 20. And then junior year, he averaged just shy of 20 at 19.5 points per game. About 5 boards, a couple of assists.
He's not even in your Final Four if you're doing that.
No, it's a really good college career to average almost 20 points per game.
It's a great college.
But,
yes.
No, to label him the best college basketball player of all time is
UCLA's
laughable.
Got like 4 by themselves that are better than Michael Jordan. Are you kidding me?
How many careers in North Carolina were better than that?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not an argument of who's the better player because you wouldn't pick.
You have to throw out what happened in the future. Yeah. You're just looking at what happened
like
in
Tyler
college.
Hansbrough, is his career better than Michael Jordan's?
Statistically, probably, yeah.
Probably.
All 4 years, right. Won a national championship, right. ACC player of the year.
I look up his college numbers.
J.J. Redick might have had a better, like, you really break this thing down, look, honestly.
I wonder what Vince Carter's numbers were at North Carolina.
Yeah. Anton Jameson.
Yeah.
Vince Carter and Anton Jameson played together.
Sam Perkins.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, big smooth.
Hansbrough stats. He played all 4 years.
James Worthy.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, James freaking Worthy. Big game James.
He played all 4 years. He was never hurt. He played basically every game of every season. He averaged over 20 points per game for his career. 18, 18, 22, 20 average. Where's total rebounds? Over eight and a half boards per game.
Yeah, this is.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's that. I'll look up Vince Carter, but all these guys are going to be.
How was Lou Alcindor not the runaway
He's
winner?
He's easily the best. It's not even an argument.
It's not even close.
Lou Alcindor is the greatest college basketball player of all time.
Is there anybody that even like sniffs in that argument?
Walton does.
Walton, yeah.
Because they went on that streak with Walton.
Yeah. By the way, MJ better numbers than Vince Carter in college. Carter averaged 12 for his career, only 7 as a freshman, 13, then 15, then he bounced after his junior year. So Jordan, better college career.
Leitner had a better college career than Jordan.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Shane Battier might have had a better college career. He's not better as a player. It's just career, your resume.
Yeah.
What you did.
Yeah, it's,
Give me Danny Manning. Give me Tim
Danny
Duncan.
Danny Manning's a great, Tim Duncan. Of my time,
Patrick Ewing had a better college career than Jordan. Chris Mullen had a better college career than Jordan.
Yeah, how do we vote?
Clyde Drexler probably had a better career.
I think Clyde, didn't Clyde only stay 2 years?
Maybe fine.
Well, and they went to the national championship game. Pretty impressive to do that at Houston.
Clyde Drexler, college stats. He was there for 3 years.
He was there for three.
Okay. 14 and a half per game for his career.
And Akeem's numbers were ridiculous there.
Akeem was, Yeah, Bill Walton, by the way, Bill Walton averaged over 20 points in 15 and a half.
And they weren't allowed to play as freshmen.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he was 3 years.
They had freshman teams, didn't they?
Yeah, you had a freshman team, and there were notorious stories of Lou Alcindor just embarrassing
the rest of the team.
The actual team that played, and
70. So, he only played 71, 72, 73. He averaged 20 and a half points and 15.
The freshman
boards.
Games got bigger crowds at Poly Pavilion than the regular games.
I feel like I'm going to get really angry by this because Deal text this in.
Okay.
So I did you guys look at this bracket before you found this out? Yes or no?
No,
I didn't know until you said it before.
All right. I saw
So Deal says that the olds have been getting pissed because Zion beat Leitner in this bracket.
Oh God, stop it.
Seriously.
Yeah, you can't do that. One and done's can't count.
Half a season.
Yeah. I think what happened here is the people voting, first of all, knew they were gonna piss older people off. And
well,
second
also,
of
younger
all,
people probably just vote more than older people. They're just
older
online
people
more.
Are paying more attention to their 401ks and investment portfolios right now than this stuff.
Yeah. I've given up on that.
I'll be
working till I'm 88, and then we'll just hope that it's a crapshoot at that point. I live 2 years. No, I also think they voted based on who they think a better basketball player is. Not the resume, the career.
Sure. And if you want to go that route,
it's a very skewed way to do the bracket.
Yeah. Leitner, by the way, for his career.
Where was Pete Maravich on this, by the way? Who
probably
put up
like a
ridiculous numbers at
15
LSU.
15 seed. Yeah. Somebody probably disrespected him.
Didn't he average like 44 one season?
Yeah.
That's another great.
I once had an older Oregon State alum. I was covering the program and he came up to me. We were just talking shop, talking about the current team and older players in basketball.
Dude, he
averaged. And he said Pete Maravich is easily the best player he's ever seen.
Dude, could he have topped Lou Alcindor here?
Who?
That should have been the final.
So he, in his Maravich, career, you want to know, he played 3 years at LSU. You want to know what his points per game were per season?
They were hideous.
43.8, 44.2, 44.5.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And again, that's because, and he wasn't allowed to play as a freshman.
He wasn't. Now, he took 38 shots per game.
If you want to see, I stumbled across this one night on the SEC network.
That is incredible.
The SEC does their own sort of 30 for 30 things about just SEC stuff. And him, because his dad was a coach.
Right.
And had kind of a, Tiger Woods' dad sort of thing, groomed him, prepped him. It was pretty harsh. But if you want to go, it was really well done as to,
Oh, they did women in this. God, that's
Yeah, that's a
pretty unfair.
They had I think Sabrina was in there.
Well, she better. I mean, she's the only one in the history of college basketball.
Rebecca Lobo was in there.
An 8-9 matchup with Sue Bird versus Shaq. Hansbrough, by the way, was a 5 seed.
Okay. I mean, he had a great college career. You say what you want about Hansbrough.
Anthony Davis?
Yeah, you can't. One and done should not have been a part of this. And you just can't be the best college basketball
Who
player of all time.
Who put this together at ESPN?
Year.
That's what I want.
Yeah, it's pretty. Okay, get this one. So this is a Diana Taurasi versus Chris Jackson. Diana Taurasi had to go against D. Wade in the second round. Diana Taurasi was a 2 seed. D. Wade's a 10 seed. Guess who won?
Dwayne Wade.
Did, Stop it.
Yeah. But Dwayne Wade had a decent college career. I mean, he wouldn't win that matchup, but Wade was there for 3 years, wasn't he? He had a longer college career.
It's a bit like Diana Taurasi had one of the best careers of any person.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yeah.
By the way, it was Larry Bird in the final against MJ. And they were deadlocked on Twitter. So ESPN said you can go vote on Instagram for one day. And whoever wins on Instagram is the ultimate winner. So, of course.
People wouldn't vote for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Michael Jordan wins.
Yeah, that's a look. MJ might be the GOAT for a lot of people, but not when it comes to college basketball.
No, not in college.
He did hit an iconic shot, and he had a great career. Doesn't take anything away from it, but no, not the case.
Hey, we got a lot to get to in the second hour. We got Peyton Pritchard at 1:30. We'll catch up with the, well, it feels weird to say this, but the former Duck getting ready for his NBA career. He's on quarantine at his parents' house. We'll talk to him at 1:30. But coming up next to start hour two, Wade Phillips, former NFL coach, defensive coordinator, wrote the new book, Son of a Bum. He's going to join us to kick off at the second hour, Dirt and Sprague, with Wade Phillips on 1080 The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.